Greetings, friends in Radioland. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Marjorie Nunes. You are listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350wnlk.com or on radio at WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. I am the pastor of Hicksville United Methodist Church, Hicksville, New York. Our website can be found at hicksvilleumc.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/HicksvilleUMC. Wisdom's Talk, where we search the Word of God to find new meaning for our daily lives. The question for us today is, does what we believe make a difference in our daily lives? Join me and let's find out together. Stay tuned now, friends. I'll be right back on Wisdom's Talk. Friends, we're back now, and it's good to be back today on the air and to give Lord God all the praise and the honor and the glory. It's truly good to be alive today, and I give God thanks because we know that our Redeemer lives. You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk, and so we praise God for His grace and His mercy and for His loving kindness. I hope you're doing well today, and if you're not, know that our Redeemer lives and the Lord is with you. And so now as we are going to do our teaching today, and we're going to continue on the same kind of theme that we began last time, as we talked a couple of your questions I posed about, who do the Son of Man say that I am? Those questions when Jesus asked Peter, who does the people say that I am, the Son of Man is? And then the other part of the question is, after Peter answered, Jesus then asked the next question, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And so today we want to continue on that theme, looking at two different questions, but kind of posing this similar questions about knowing who Jesus is and do we believe that. And so we are going to be looking at the gospel, reading the gospel, and then we are going to go into the teaching moment. But as always, friends, let us just open up in prayers as we seek God's face and seek to hear from the Lord. And let us give Him all the honor and glory and all the praise. Let us pray now. Oh, holy and righteous and loving God, we give You thanks. We thank You for Your loving kindness and for Your tender mercies. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. Holy God, we worship and adore You. We lift up Your holy name because You alone are worthy to be praised. We bow at Your feet, Lord God. And so, Lord God, as we come, we thank You for yesterday's blessings and for today's blessings and for tomorrow's blessings. We thank You. You are a God who delights in blessing Your people. And so, God, we worship You now, and we praise Your name. We lift You up, Lord God, and we come before You. We thank You for our daily bread, our very daily bread, the food we eat, the breath that we breathe. We thank You. We thank You that we are saved, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank You. And we continue to seek Your face, Lord God. We continue to look to You. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord Jesus. We thank you. And we pray for those, God, under the sound of my voice who are struggling in all kinds of situation, God. You know them. You know where they are. You know each and every one of us by name. I bring them before you now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Stretch out your healing hand and touch. Stretch out your healing hand where there's a need, Lord God. Just touch and heal in the name of Jesus. Holy God, we praise your name. We worship you, Lord God. Oh God, we have mercy upon us this day. We pray for those who are grieving, those who are in the hospital and hospices, those who are in nursing homes. God, we pray that your word will go forth and touch them, because you have sent your word forth to heal all of our diseases, and your word will not return to you void. What will it accomplish? What you have sent it to do. God, let your word accomplish healing in somebody's life now. Let your word accomplish employment in somebody's life now, God. Let your word accomplish that someone will get a place to live today in the name of Jesus. Let your word accomplish sane minds in somebody's mind today, Lord God. Let your word accomplish total, complete healing in somebody's mind in the name of Jesus. Do it because you're God, and do it because you're able and you're willing, and because you love us, not because we are perfect. Oh God, do it in the name of Jesus. And God, as I bring your word forth this day, I pray that you'll order my steps, God, order the very words that come from my mouth. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts who are listening be acceptable in your sight, God, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Redeemer, you are our Savior, and you are our Lord. Amen. So be with us now, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks and praise. And now you're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk, and we are going to begin by reading from something from the book of Matthew, the New Testament book of Matthew, about Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we'll be talking from there, from this scripture, and then my sermon title, the sermon title or the reflection title will be, Who Is This? This is the first part. Who is this will be the questions. And so let me begin the reading now from the NRSV, Matthew 21. And I'll start at verse 1 and go to verse 10. And here's the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, The Lord needs them, and he will send them immediately. This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and said as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, Who is this? And the crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So the question was, who is this? And we're going to bring our reflection from that question, who is this? Who is this? And so, friends, as we look at this, let us now begin to look at, you know, the thoughts that I have put together on this. And let's join together as we ask the question of the day. Who is this? It was only a matter of days before he would be crucified, and Jesus had just entered Jerusalem. The crowd had been waving palm branches and shouting his praise. The onlookers weren't sure what was happening. And in Matthew's word, Jesus had come into Jerusalem. All the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" We just read that in Matthew 21, verse 10. Who is this? The question does not belong only in the first century Jerusalem. Throughout the centuries and continuing today, people have been opinionating and speculating on the identity of Jesus of Nazareth. Some say he was a sort of guru, a wise and gentle teacher of trite platitudes and object lessons. Others say Jesus was one in a long line of prophets, and more than one apologist has argued that there are only three possibilities as to Christ's identity. So folks have been asking, who is this? And folks have been coming up with their own thoughts on this. Some have said he was a liar, falsely claiming to be God. Some have said he was a lunatic, bona fide crazy and delusional, out of touch with reality. Or he was in fact who he said he was, the Son of God, Lord. So we've got all these different sayings, and they're saying different things about God, Jesus. Jesus was not low profile when he entered Jerusalem. Matthew reported that when he entered the city on Palm Sunday, all the city was moved when he arrived. That is in verse 10. In their puzzlement, they asked, "Who is this?" Do you desire to see God move in such a way that your own city is stirred and your neighbors begin to ask, "Who is this?" Do you and I desire, do we desire that when we're spreading the gospel, people start asking, "Who is this?" Right? Who is this who put your life back together and made something beautiful of it? Who is this who restored your family? Who is this who delivered you from addiction? Who is this who turned your sadness into joy? Who is this? Could you imagine if the world start asking again by the highways and the byways, who is this who have turned your life around? Who is this who took you from prostitution? Who is this? What does it take for God to move, shake, and stir an entire city? We can learn from this singular day 2,000 years ago. It happened when Jesus' followers began to experience him, to extol him, and to extend him to others. The result, the people around them began to ask, "Who is this?" Can you imagine, friends, if we're preaching Jesus the way we ought to, if we have opened our doors and we're out in the streets and the byways, and the work of God is moving in our community so much so that people are asking, "Who is this? Who is this that's causing this? Who is this that's bringing forth healing? Who is this that's bringing forth transformation? Who is this?" And so my first point is experience him. We come to know Jesus when we experience being in his presence. And the way to genuinely experience him is to listen to him and obey him, such as the case 2,000 years ago. The stage was set for the city to encounter and experience Jesus when he entrusted two of his disciples to go into a nearby village, find a donkey, and bring it to him. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Matthew 21:6. No doubt, no defiance, no delay. They just went and did. In obedience to Jesus' fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy that your king is coming to you lowly and riding on a donkey. Zechariah 9:9. And so they did exactly what Jesus said. They went. They did not doubt, and they went to get the donkey. These two followers who were sent to get a donkey could have decided that a white stallion would be much more appropriate for their master, but they didn't. They simply obeyed him. Too many Christian followers today, however, let what we think ought to take priority over his actual commands. Yet one reason God moved the city that day to ask, "Who is this?" was the tremendous spirit of obedience among those who listened to him. Jesus is still on his throne today. He is still speaking to us, and he is still commanding us to obey his commandments as set forth in his word. When we honor him by obeying him, when more of his own people begin to experience him through obedience to his word, we will find that he is also still in the business of moving cities to ask, "Who is this?" So it first begins, friends, with obedience. When we obey God, when we obey Jesus, when we obey the word of God, God will move in our lives and move in our churches and move in our cities, just like the disciples did that day. Jesus sent them to get the donkey. They went to get the donkey. They didn't get a horse. They didn't get a mule. They didn't get a dog. They obeyed him. And that, because of that, the Holy Spirit was going to move in that city, that people were so amazed they would ask, "Who is this?" And so we first must begin by extolling him. We have got to lift his name on high. As Jesus began his descent into Jerusalem, the people began to honor and extol him. They literally carpeted the road with their coats and palm branches as they shouted their praise. "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Matthew 21:9. What brought about this outburst of praise? Put yourself in the crowd and you'll soon find out. Remember Bartimaeus? I would believe that he was in the crowd. Just a week before in Jericho, he was blind and begging by the side of the road. But then Jesus noticed him, stopped and gave sight to his darkened eyes with a spoken word. Now Bartimaeus was seeing everything around him. No wonder he was praising Jesus. And I could imagine that he was in the crowd shouting and praising God. And now let us look over there and remember that man with the tears of joy running down his face. Why, it's Lazarus of Bethany, who not long ago was dead and in the grave, until Jesus gave him new life. And there he was over there, right? There he was there. I'm already praising God because God has saved his life. Can you imagine? Can't you see Lazarus in the crowd and blind Bartimaeus because Jesus had done something for them? And friends, let's imagine and look over there. There is that formerly crippled man who for 38 years could be found lying by the pool of Bethesda. But look at him now, dancing and singing and shouting his own hosannas to the King of Kings. Do you and I have any less reason to extol Jesus, to shout our own hosannas today? We have seen his greatest miracle ever, his provision of new birth through his death and resurrection. We were dead in our sin until he brought us new life. Yet sadly, some of us have lost the joyful spirit of praise, and we desperately need to recover it. God will move in our cities and prompt those around us to ask, "Who is this?" When we, like those of old, have experienced him, we who choose to obey him, extol him with our praise. Then when we begin to live out our faith and begin to praise him and extol him, people will then say, "Who is this?" And then we can extend him to them. My next point is that we will be able to extend him after we obey him, we extol him, we can then extend him to others, and then we will see a revival again. Those faithful followers lying in the street on the original Palm Sunday did not only praise Jesus, they began to extend him to others. They wanted others to meet their Savior and Lord. Nothing could keep them from sharing the good news that Jesus was their long-awaited Messiah and that they had found in him their hope. Enthusiasm filled the day. Caught up in the excitement of this moment, the people began to ask, "Who is this?" And the crowd lining the street responded with, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Matthew 26:10-11. The people who had gathered not only experienced Jesus that day, they not only extolled him, but they extended him to others. "This is Jesus," was their cry. "This is Jesus," was their cry. When we do the same, when we praise Jesus for what he has done in our lives and share our stories with others, the people around us will also ask, "Who is this? Who is this who transformed your life? Who is this who put your family back together? Who is this who brought you peace in the midst of such tragedy? Who is this who enabled you to be victorious over your addiction? Who is this who gave you hope in the darkness of your circumstances? Who is this? Who is this? This is Jesus. You have experienced him, so now extol him and extend him to others, friends. This is Jesus. If you have experienced him, now you must extol him, and then you must extend him to others." Oh, praise God this morning. So the question again is, who is this? My answer is, ultimately, each of us must answer this question for ourselves. Who is Jesus to you? Was he a liar, a figure out of history who made some outrageous and completely untrue claims about himself? Was he a lunatic, some crazed prophet from the middle of nowhere with illusions of grandeur and delusions of deity? Or is he Jesus, Lord? Your eternal destiny rests on your answer. May you join with the crowd in exclaiming, "This is Jesus." Will you do that, friends? Will you cry out, "This is Jesus"? Will you get your city and your church and your state to be on fire for Jesus? Will you call out and say, "He is Lord"? Oh, yes, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Will you do that, friends? Will you do that, my friends, today as we look and we seek Jesus? Will you call out again and seek his face today? And as we say, "Who is this?" Will you then say, "Who is this to?" Will you be able to answer, friends, "Who is this?" as we seek God's face today? Let us now listen a little bit from this song, "He is Lord, He is Lord." We worship him. He is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is he? He is Lord. Who is he? He's Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're listening to Pastor Nunister Wisdom's Talk. Oh, and we are just glorifying the Lord today. He's Lord. Let's just listen one little bit more to the choir as it sings. He's Lord. Amen. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess he's Lord. Who is this? Who is this? He's Lord. That's that question. And now I'm going to pose another question for us. Another question. And this question will be, do you believe this? Do you believe that this and that? This comes from John. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. So now we're going to read from John chapter 11 to look at this question. You see, the questions I'm posing for you here during these series of teaching is questions that Jesus has asked, right? The first one, the last couple of days. Now I just ask, oh, is this? The people were asking, oh, is this? And now, do you believe this? Let's see who asked that question. And the question for you and me today is, do we believe that he is Lord? And so if you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and I'll be reading from verse 17 to verse 26. Now hear the word of God. Now hear the word of God, friends. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And every one who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." I want to read that again. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." This is the word of the Lord. So again, you know, you hear Martha declaring, "You are the Son of God." Do you believe this, friends? Do you believe this, friends? Do you believe today? Do you believe this today? And so here are my thoughts on this. He is Lord, isn't he? He is risen from the dead, and every knee shall bow. Oh, glory to God. And so we just read from John chapter 11. And now my reflection on this, you're listening to Wisdom's Talk. It was a sad and somber day in Bethany. As Jesus stood in the midst of the broken-hearted family, as he stood there, family and friends, at the grave of Lazarus. At the grave of Lazarus, as Jesus stood there, right? And he's there. From his lips came an astonishing claim, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." John 11:25-26. Then Jesus looked into their faces, just as he looks into our hearts now, and asks life's bottom line question: do you believe this? Verse 26. The resurrection is what sets our Lord apart from 1,000 other gurus and self-proclaimed prophets who have come along through the centuries. The question, "Do you believe this?" is what drives any responsible hearer to either accept or reject the Christian faith. So the question, "Do you believe this?" is what sets Jesus apart from any of the gurus. Right, friends? Since we obviously have no audio recordings or videos of our Lord's words, I have often wondered what words he emphasized in the statement. That means when he was making the statement, "Do you believe this?" what word did he emphasize? Because the emphasis on the word could tell you something at any given time. So, for example, let's think, right? How did he ask this question? Here in Bethany, did he ask, "Do you believe this?" with the emphasis being on you? After all, it is a personal matter. So did he say, "Do you believe this?" or did he say, do you believe this? Emphasis on believe. Do you believe this? Is the emphasis on this. It is certainly a very pointed question. Or did he ask the third time, which I just said, do you believe this? So was the emphasis either on you or on believe or on this? His question is also precise, right? His question is confronted with this bottom line question of life. May you answer with Martha. Yes, may you and I answer with Martha. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Verse 27. Because the question is for us, do you believe this? Or do you believe this? Or do you believe this? That's the question. Life's bottom line question is personal. Life's bottom line question is always personal. Perhaps Jesus emphasized the you in order to drive home the fact that one's salvation is a very personal and individual matter. Our salvation is a very personal and individual matter. Do you believe this? When it comes to saving faith in the finished work of Christ, what matters is not my mother or my father, husband or wife, or anyone else believes. Let me say that again. What matters is not what my mother or my father, husband or wife, or children, or anyone else believes. It is a personal matter. I have, however, known some who pinned all their hopes of eternal life on someone else's faith, as though they might eventually benefit by some sort of spiritual osmosis. You'll hear people say, "Oh, well, my grandmother was in the church all her life, and my father was in the church all his life, and they're not in the church, and they haven't believed, and they believe it's a spiritual osmosis." Friends, it isn't. The real question is, do you believe this? It is intensely personal. One of the intrigues of our modern Gnostic culture is the number of people captivated by certain books and movies that question the the veracity of the gospel accounts. Some people refuse to believe Jesus is the Son of God. What about you? Do you really want to believe that his death was, in essence, unnecessary, an unnecessary event, and not voluntarily and vicariously experienced for you personally? Or that his resurrection should be relegated to some ancient shelf of obscurity, along with other ancient myths and fables? The question is personal. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That's the question. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he said to Martha, do you believe this? Life's bottom line question is pointed. First I said life's bottom line question is personal. Now I am saying life's bottom line question is pointed. It could be that when Jesus asked this question in Bethany Cemetery, he emphasized the word belief and asked it thus, do you believe this? He was not asking his hearers if they were giving intellectual assent to his claims. He wanted to know if they would actually put their total trust and faith in his words. It is one thing to know the gospel story intellectually. It is one thing to attempt to conform ourselves to the resurrection by trying to take up a new set of moral standards externally. It is even one thing to reason and argue in the defense of the gospel. But the real issue for Jesus was and is one of faith. Do you believe this? Life's bottom line question is not only personal, but pointed as well. It's not only personal, but it's pointed as well. My third point, life bottom line question is precise. It is precise. Now we come to the heart of the issue. True faith must rest on objective truth and fact. It may well be that Jesus placed the emphasis on the last word in the question. Do you believe this? Do we believe what? Note the context. Jesus asked this question on the direct heels of an amazing claim. I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John 11:25-26, right? I've added the emphasis. Do you believe this? Jesus' claim of deity. I am the resurrection and life, using the words I am, capture the attention of those around him. John's gospel records an I am statement by Jesus seven times. Seven times in John's gospel, you see the I am statements, right? We first hear God use this I am statement way back in Exodus 3:13-14, when Moses asks the voice from the burning bush to reveal his name. God simply instructed Moses to tell the children of Israel, I am, as sent me to you. When Jesus said, I am, all those listening recognize it as an affirmation of his deity. The most fundamental belief of the Christian faith is that Jesus of Nazareth is God himself. This is why the Apostle Paul would say, he is the image of the invisible God. All things are created through him and for him. Galatians 1:15-16. I just read a brief part of that. It was this faith in his deity that would later lead Paul, the disciples, and so many early martyrs, early believers, to their own martyr's death. So many of the early believers to their own martyrs' death because they believed in the deity of Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? His claim about death. Jesus said, though he may die, John 11:25, meaning though you may die, many live in total denial of this coming appointment. One of life's greatest facts is that we are going to die, right? As I look at myself sometimes and I see pictures of when I was young from a decade ago or from time ago, I am stunned that my hair is getting, you know, wider, that my hair was gray. Now you can't see the gray now because I put color in, and my face was much younger and, you know, years ago, and now I could see the lines, and, you know, and some people have up for plastic surgery and some have gone for liposuction, and we all want to look better, and a lot, a handful of other vitamins and supplements and all of that. But none of that can stop the fact that we are marching toward death, our final enemy, that we all are marching towards it. We pray for God's grace that we will live long lives so we could serve him and worship and adore him and do good things in the world. But death is coming. Death is humankind's common denominator. Just look at the obituary section of your newspaper. On the society page, you will read of only one class of people, those in the upper class. In the sports section, you will read only of people who are gifted in athletics. In the business section, you only read of those who are noteworthy are featured there. Only those great business people are featured here. But on the obituary page, everyone is listed side by side in simple, cold alphabetic order. Death knocks on the door of the wealthiest billionaire and the poorest of peasants and sends them both to stand before the judge of the universe. No wonder Amos the prophet thundered out the warning, prepare to meet your God. Amos 4:12, prepare to meet your God. Do you believe this? Jesus's claim about destiny. Though he may die, he shall live. John 11:25. What Jesus means is that the body may die, but not the spirit. There is a part of you and me that will live on as long as God lives, which is forever. Do you believe his claim that death is not the end? That even though our bodies will one day die, we will live in spirit. There is another life that is more than a million times longer than this one. It is an eternity we will spend with our Lord and Savior, that we will spend with him. Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus' claim about his deity and our own death and destiny? There's a lot of big questions in life. Most of them will be asked when we are young adults, without the wisdom and perspective that come with everyday life experience. Where will I attend college? What will be my chosen life profession? With whom will I spend my life? Those are some of the life questions we ask. But there is only one big question in death, and it is, do you believe this? You can settle the answer now, once and for all, by joining Martha in her response, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. John 11:27. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I do believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. The question again for you today is, do you believe this? And my answer is, you are the only one. We are the only one who can answer this bottom line question of life, because it is intensely personal. Do you believe this? Yet the question is also pointed. Do you believe this? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this question asked is precise. Do you believe this? As for me, thankfully, I addressed this question long ago by trusting in Jesus and declaring, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And friends, if you're out there in Radio Land and you have not believed that Jesus is Lord, that he is the one the true and living God. If you do not believe that, you can now believe. You can, if you've heard me today, that he has asked the question, do you believe that he is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he is Lord, that he is Lord, that he is risen from the dead and he is Lord? Friends, it is up to us today to believe. And as I play, hopefully we can play a little bit of that song again as we sing and we pray to and we please God. We got to obey him and we got to praise and just lift his name on high. And we sing praises to him this day. Praise God, as we glorify his name. He is Lord, he is Lord. And because he lives, one songwriter says, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know that he holds the future, and we know he holds our hands. Because he lives, and he has promised us eternal life with him, friends. If we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he has promised us eternal life with him. Oh, glory to God today. If you do not know Jesus in the pardoning of your sin and you're listening to the sound of my voice today, if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, friends, today is the day of salvation. Romans 10:9 tells us that we, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that, friends, today? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe that he could turn your life around? Do you believe it today, friends? Oh, he's God. He's our God. Do you believe that Jesus is God? He is the true and living God. There is none like him, and there is none but him. Oh, God, we are reminded again, always in the scriptures, we are reminded that he is Lord. He is Lord. Again, he is Lord, and he is risen from the dead. So I encourage you today, if you have never accepted him, I encourage you today to accept him, friends. I encourage you to say yes to him, to say yes to Jesus, to give him your life, because salvation is for all. Salvation is for all today. And you can live your eternity with him by saying yes to him. Yes to him today, we read, and we know that he is Lord. Yes, and he lives and reigns supreme. He lives and reigns. You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. And we're just encouraging you this day that if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, to say yes to him, because he lives and he reigns, and he lives and he reigns supreme. Yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Is he real in your soul today? My God is real. Is he real in your soul today, friends? Have you said yes to him? And is he real in your soul today? Oh, I pray that he's real in your soul. And I pray that you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And that you know that if you say yes to him, he'll never leave you or forsake you. So if you're under the sound of my voice, will you say yes to him? Will you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I know that you're Savior and Lord, and I desire to serve you and to spend eternity with you. Oh, praise God. And if you say that, I tell you, heaven is rejoicing. If you repent with your lips and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you're saved. You've been listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Until next time. We will close out in music until next time, knowing my God is real. He's real in my soul. Oh, praise God. Today he's real. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Wisdom's Talk until next time. Oh, but I am sure of this one thing. Oh, bless his name. My God is real. My